Welcome back, guys. Welcome back to another Palm CC podcast. You know, Billy Joel's not really my normal jam, but I gotta say, I just rediscovered this track the other day. Scenes from Italian Restaurant, if you're so inclined. Welcome back. This is Deep Ramachandran once again with another Palm CC podcast. So unfortunately, we got to switch gears from that upbeat, sweet Billy Joel tune to something a bit more somber, and that's end-of-life care among African-Americans in the intensive care unit. So why are we talking about this? Well, end-of-life care, as we all know, if you're in critical care or just internal medicine or medicine at all, you know that this is incredibly important. We overspend on patients at the end of their lives, and we overcare for people at the end of their lives. We routinely provide care that many physicians know is futile and is not accomplishing the goals that the patients want, and oftentimes we're just providing more rather than better. So we see this, and undoubtedly you've seen this if you work in an ICU setting, that particularly among African Americans are more likely to want more aggressive interventions at the end of life. And we also know that African Americans are less likely to be accepting of approaches that use things like comfort care and hospice. And these observations that you've had and I've had are actually supported in the literature. And as you know, as a critical care physician, there are a few things more painful and frustrating in our careers than providing aggressive care to people that we know in our hearts are most likely dying, and providing aggressive things that we know are probably causing somebody to suffer more than to thrive. And we have a lot of patients in these situations that we feel are not going to get better, but we continue to provide these aggressive interventions that are usually demanded by families and loved ones in these highly emotional and highly stressful situations, even though that we know that these patients are unlikely to improve. So I wanted to take a look at a couple of the factors that we know that we think are likely contributing to this, and also what we as critical care physicians can potentially do to try to reduce these incidences and also try to improve communication with African-American patients and their families. So how is it that I have any perspective on this? I am ethnically an Indian American. I spent most of my childhood around other Indian Americans, and growing up in a small, previously unknown but now infamous Newtown, Connecticut, I spent most of my adolescence and childhood around other white people. I went to school in India, and thus I spent most of my education and medical education around other Indian folks. And then I moved to Detroit, Michigan. So when I moved to Detroit, that was a bit of a culture shock for me because I had had minimal experience with African-American folks. Since that time, I've had 20 years experience with African-American communities and taking care of African-American patients. And I think I've learned a decent amount during that time. Now, when it comes to end-of-life discussions among African-American patients and their families, specifically when it comes to these discussions in the ICU setting, there are a multitude of factors that can play a role in how African-Americans see end-of-life decisions. But I think when it comes down to it, there are two that are predominantly much more important than the others that we need to understand as practitioners. Those two factors are faith and trust. So faith is a lens through which many African-Americans view end-of-life decisions. And I want to have you listen in on an interview recently with Dr. Kimberly Johnson. She's a Duke University clinician researcher, and her area of expertise is palliative care, end-of-life, and particularly among the African-American community. And this is what she had to say about how African-Americans view end-of-life decisions through the lens of faith.
African Americans endorse greater religiosity than other populations. They're more likely to attend church, have religious affiliations, actually use religion as a way to make decisions. And so some of the spiritual beliefs that we found were important were African Americans believe that only God determines life and death, that death, like other obstacles, is a test of faith, and admitting that you're approaching the end of life may mean that you don't have enough faith.
The other issue that I mentioned is trust. Now, African Americans can have a mistrust of many institutions, and we have to remember that medicine is another institution. The other thing that I think I try to keep in mind as I deal with African American patients and their families during these conversations is that when I don my white coat, I am now the speaking personification of that institution. And this fact may reduce my credibility in the eyes of some patients and their families. Therefore, it's important for providers that we not carry a chip on our shoulders, that we try to speak with empathy and compassion and not as an authority figure. Again, here's Dr. Johnson.
African Americans, for very good reason, based on past injustices and ongoing disparities, trust the health system less. Hospice really focuses on comfort rather than cure. You might imagine that if you're concerned about the quality of care you've received when cure may have been possible, you're less likely to access a service which focuses on comfort only.
So in the end, what's an ICU physician to do? So I think, as with many things that we do, it comes down to using a greater degree of empathy, a greater degree of understanding, and listening. I think we have to listen better to our patients to better understand their spiritual point of view and try to empathize with that point of view. I think with just trying to throw a lot of facts and figures at a patient and trying to use your authority to make somebody make a decision that you think is right is not always the right thing to do with patients, and particularly in African-American community patients. I think we also have to engage to a greater degree with family and community members during these conversations, because those people might help us bridge the gap of communication. So ultimately, I think both greater understanding and greater empathy can help bridge the gap of understanding between healthcare providers and our African-American patients and their families. But I do think we need more than that, because as I've said in the past, if you've read my blog, caduceusblog.com, the ICU is the last and worst place to have end-of-life conversations, period. It doesn't matter what ethnicity you are. There's just simply too much stress, too much emotional strain, and too much physical fatigue on parts of the family members and the patients themselves for people to really think effectively and make rational decisions. So what we need to do is we need to have these conversations way beforehand. We need to have more boots on the ground with a boots on the ground type of engagement in order to spare our patients, African American and otherwise, from these unnecessarily end-of-life interventions that are causing undue suffering, grief, and pain for people. Well, that about does it for this podcast, guys. If you got suggestions for future podcasts, hit me up on Twitter, at @caduceusblogger. If you're interested in hearing more about palliative care and end-of-life in African-Americans, check out the really interesting broadcast that I took snippets of for this podcast. It's an interview with Dr. Kimberly Johnson, and in it she talks about her amazing life, the story of her life, and how she ended up doing research in the area of racial disparities and end-of-life care. As always, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Billy Joel, take us out.